Welcome, everyone, to Word Wonders, the podcast where we unpack fascinating English words and their incredible origins. I'm Chris, your guide on this linguistic adventure.
And I'm Rachel, here to chime in and explore these word wonders with you. We're so excited to share how understanding a word's history can make learning English so much more fun and intuitive, especially for our Chinese listeners.
That's right, Rachel. Today, we're diving into some colorful words that describe people and their quirks. We all know someone who fits these descriptions, or maybe, just maybe, we might even recognize a bit of ourselves. We'll look at where these words come from and how they reveal fascinating insights into human nature.
Sounds intriguing. Where should we start, Chris? I'm ready to discover some new personality labels.
Let's start with a word for someone we've probably all encountered, perhaps even dreaded. Martinet. Have you ever had a boss, a teacher, or even a military drill sergeant who made everyone toe the mark, right down to the last centimeter?
Oh, absolutely. Someone who demands strict conformity to rules, no matter how small, and won't tolerate any deviation from their orders. They sound like the ultimate stickler.
Exactly. That person is a martinet. This word comes from a real person, believe it or not. Jean Martinet was the Inspector General of Infantry. During the reign of King Louis XIV in France, he was known as the strictest, most fanatical drillmaster France had ever seen, and his discipline gave the French army its formidable reputation.
So his name became synonymous with excessive discipline. That's quite a legacy.
It truly is, and the word martinet is always used in a derogatory sense, conveying resentment and anger from the person using it. So if you hear a secretary call their boss a martinet, you know they're not thrilled with the excessive, inhuman discipline they're experiencing. It's a powerful word to express contempt for someone overly strict.
I can definitely imagine. It makes me think of those very demanding coaches or military instructors where every detail, every movement has to be perfect. The kind of person who leaves no room for error.
Precisely. Now, let's move from someone who demands blind obedience to someone who gives it, or at least pretends to, a sycophant.
Ah, the bootlicker. We all know this type, unfortunately. The person who flatters rich or influential people, caters to their vanity, and boosts their ego.
Spot on. And here's a fun fact about its origin. Sycophant comes to us from ancient Greece and literally means fig shower.
Fig shower? That's so specific and unexpected. Why figs?
Well, there are a couple of theories mentioned in Shipley's Dictionary of Word Origins. One is that a fig shower was someone who informed officers when figs were being taken from sacred groves. Another theory suggests they reported Smyrna fig dealers who were dodging tariffs.
So it was like a stool pigeon or an informer? That makes sense. They curried favor with authorities by tattling on others.
Exactly. While today a sycophant uses flattery and servile attentions to ingratiate themselves, the core idea is gaining favor through insincere means. In Chinese, we have a fantastic idiom for this. Pai ma pai, pai ma pi, which means patting the horse's butt. A perfect image for someone trying to butter someone up. Both bootlicker and sycophant are highly uncomplimentary.
Pai ma pi is perfect. It instantly brings to mind that image of someone trying too hard to please for their own selfish gain, rather than out of genuine admiration. The word sycophant really captures that hypocrisy.
It certainly does. Now, let's talk about another kind of person, often related to the arts, who might seem harmless but has a very specific label. A dilettante.
Ooh, an interesting one. What does a dilettante do?
A dilettante engages superficially in a fine art, like painting, writing, or composing, but largely for their own amusement. They aren't interested in professional competence or monetary rewards. It's simply a pleasant way to pass the time.
So it's like a hobbyist, but with a particular emphasis on doing it for delight rather than serious pursuit.
Precisely. The word dilettante comes from the Italian verb dilettare, which means to delight. It describes someone who pursues art purely for amusement, not to make money, become famous, or satisfy a deep creative urge, which are often the motivations for professional artists.
I see. So they have some skill, but they're not really doing much with it beyond personal enjoyment. It's a 3 minutes of heat, San Fenzhong Rei Du kind of person when it comes to long-term dedication. But for the arts, it's more about leisure.
That's a good way to put it for understanding the level of commitment. It's important not to confuse a dilettante, who often has some native talent, with a tyro. A tyro is an inexperienced beginner in an art, but they might be full of ambition and energy, just starting out. They're not yet good because they haven't developed their skill.
So a tyro is a beginner with potential, while a dilettante has some skill but lacks professional drive?
Exactly. And on the opposite end of the spectrum from both of these, someone with consummate skill in an artistic field, especially music, is called a virtuoso. Think of a world-renowned pianist like Lang Lang. He is a true virtuoso.
Ah, that makes the distinction very clear. A dilettante plays for fun, a tyro is an aspiring beginner, and a virtuoso is a master.
Moving on, let's explore a word that's often used, sometimes contentiously, to describe strong, opinionated individuals. Chauvinist.
This one often comes up in discussions about patriotism or gender, right?
Absolutely. A chauvinist is someone who is exaggeratedly, aggressively, absurdly, and excessively devoted to their own affiliations. They believe anything they own or belong to is superior simply because it's theirs.
So if they belong to a certain club, they'll believe it's the best club, no matter what?
Precisely. And they won't hesitate to advertise such prejudice. The word comes from Nicolas Chauvin, a soldier of the French Empire, who was so vociferously devoted to Napoleon Bonaparte that he became a laughingstock. So, an exaggerated patriot became known as a chauvinist.
That makes sense. And it's not just about one's country anymore, is it?
No, not at all. Chauvinism has naturally extended to blatant veneration of, or boastfulness about, any other affiliation besides one's country. So, you can have someone who is a male chauvinist, believing their own sex is superior, for example. The core idea is an obnoxious degree of exaggerated pride and devotion.
It highlights how easily pride can cross the line into prejudice and arrogance. It's not about being proud of your country, which is patriotic, but rather being chauvinistic, which is an extreme and often offensive display of that pride.
Well put. Now let's shift gears to a word that describes a particular kind of health anxiety. Something many of us might relate to, even if we don't realize its full meaning. Hypochondriac.
This sounds like someone always worried about getting sick, even when they're perfectly fine.
Exactly. A hypochondriac is always sick, though no doctor can find an organic cause for your ailments. They might be convinced they have ulcers or a brain tumor, even when medical tests show nothing wrong. For them, these maladies are very real, despite being factually non-existent.
So it's not imaginary in their mind, but doctors can't find a physical reason for their symptoms. That must be very distressing for both the person and those around them.
It is. The source suggests these simulated bodily ills might stem from tensions, insecurities, or a need for attention. And here's where the etymology gets really interesting. Hypochondria is built on two Greek roots. Hypos, meaning under, and chondros, which refers to the cartilage of the breastbone.
Under the breastbone? That seems like an odd connection.
It does, at first. But the ancient Greeks believed that morbid anxiety about one's health arose in the abdomen, which is under the breastbone. So, a hypochondriac is someone with constant anxious preoccupation with their health, originating from what the Greeks believed was under the breastbone.
That's a fascinating historical medical perspective. It shows how our understanding of the body and mind has evolved.
Absolutely. And knowing hypos means under can help us understand other words too, like a hypodermic needle, which penetrates under the skin, or hypotension, meaning abnormally low blood pressure.
So the opposite would be hyper, like hypertension for high blood pressure?
You got it. Hyper is the Greek root meaning over. So, a hypercritical person is excessively fault-finding, and hyperthyroidism is an overworking thyroid gland. These prefixes, hypos and hyper, are super useful for understanding medical and general terms.
It's amazing how much meaning is packed into these small word parts, from a historical belief about where anxiety comes from to modern medical terms, all linked by two little Greek words.
And that's what we love about etymology. It's like a linguistic detective story, tracing words back to their roots to understand their full flavor and meaning. Today, we've covered the strict martinet, the flattering sycophant, the amateur dilettante, and its counterparts, the tyro and virtuoso, the biased chauvinist, and the health-anxious hypochondriac. Each word paints a vivid picture of a human trait.
What a journey! I really enjoyed learning the stories behind these words, especially how fig shower turned into sycophant and the ancient Greek belief behind hypochondriac. It makes them so much more memorable.
It truly does. And we hope you, our listeners, found this episode insightful and enjoyable. Remembering these origins can really help you understand and use these English words more confidently.
Keep an ear out for these words in your daily life and see if you can spot a martinet or a sycophant. We'll be back next time with more word wonders.
Thank you for joining us on this linguistic adventure. Until next time, keep exploring the fascinating world of words.